Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Beth Emmanuel depends on financial support from our virtual members to sustain this ministry and the message of Messianic Judaism for all nations. Please consider making a donation to Beth Emmanuel.
Shalom from Beth Emmanuel here in Hudson, Wisconsin. This is Toby Janicki. I'm going to share with you a teaching that I originally gave on the Shabbat of Elul 8, August 18th. It was the week of Parsha Shoftim, and I had just returned from Camp Sadi the week before. I was reflecting because just before I left for Camp Sadi, I was given the position of associate pastor here at Beth Emmanuel. And as I was thinking about it in the preparation before giving this teaching, I was thinking about how excited I am to be the associate pastor here. And I'm really starting to feel settled in. In fact, my whole family is starting to feel settled in here in Hudson and at Beth Emmanuel. We're really feeling like this is home now. You know, kind of takes a while. You have that initial period where you're very excited, and then you go through some difficulties settling in, and then you start to get into a routine. And I think my whole family is at that part of it, and we're really enjoying our life here at Beth Emmanuel. And I think in my new position, I'll really be able to influence things and get things going, and I'm very, very excited about that. It's funny because Daniel and I often talk about how when we deliver a sermon, it's usually for us. So, you know, pastors, rabbis, when they're giving a sermon, if they're most inspired about this, they're really inspired about the sermon, it's usually because the sermon is speaking to them. And I would say that as I'm giving this sermon, I feel like I'm talking to myself. You know, since coming here to the Beth Emmanuel community, I know that my family and I, we've all have really grown a lot spiritually since being here. I've certainly learned a lot. This is the first time where I've been in these consistently and traditional Messianic Jewish prayer services like this to the level and detail that we go to here at Beth Emmanuel. My Torah learning is at, I would say, is an all-time high. My Hebrew is the best it's ever been. I feel inspired by the call of the Master, the Kingdom. And I'm just really feeling connected with Hashem. But I thought about something. I thought about, what if someone came here to Hudson? They came to Beth Emmanuel, and they came up to us after they had been here a year or something like this, and they said, you know, since I came here, I studied less. I actually studied less, a lot less than before I moved here. I actually prayed less than I did before I moved here. Or maybe they'd come to us and they say, since I moved to Hudson and came to Beth Emmanuel, my standards of kosher have gone way down. Or how about, I drink a lot more since I came to Hudson. In fact, I get drunk a lot more. Or I'm less modest since I came to Hudson. Would we not be alarmed? Would these not be the kind of things that we'd say, you know, something has got to change. We have got to address this, because this should not be the type of experience that people have when they move to Beth Emmanuel. Instead, they should study more. They should pray more. Their kosher standards should go up. They should have more temperance and more modesty. I think we'd start a campaign to change these things. Well, what about a little something called the Hudson 20? I don't know how many of you listening to this have heard of that. Well, that's the idea that people who move here gain about 20 pounds. I think actually for me and for most people, it's probably more than 20 pounds. For me, it was more like the Hudson 25 or the Hudson 30. See, the thing about coming here is there's a party every day, nonstop events. We always have something going around. Every time you turn around, there's a farbringen, there's a simcha, there's a birthday party, a celebration, something going on. And usually, this takes place with a lot of food. Not healthy food, usually. You know, this whole idea of the Hudson 20, we laugh at it. I've laughed at it. But in reality, it's actually not funny. It's a real problem. You know, for me, last fall, I got to my highest weight ever. You know what I'm talking about. You have that weight that you set for yourself, and you think, if I ever cross this weight, you know, I know I'm going to fluctuate a little bit, but if I ever cross this weight, something is really wrong. I need to really do something. I should never cross this weight. Well, for me, I crossed that weight. I realized that I needed to address something, that I needed to change the way I eat, that I needed to exercise on a more consistent basis. I think at Beth Emanuel and in the Messianic movement at large, that we need to address this issue and change our way of thinking. That it's not just as we would be upset about someone praying less or having less of a relationship with Hashem, that we should also be upset when somebody who is following faith in Messiah, who is following the Torah, that they are living an unhealthy lifestyle, that we would want to help them and change this. In my mind, it's as serious as lower kosher standards, and it's as serious as feeling less connected to Hashem. So we at Beth Emanuel are campaigning, or we did campaign, now the month of Elul is over, but we campaigned during the month of Elul and for the 40 days leading up to Yom Kippur to get us as a community to start making more healthy choices and to make lifestyle changes and to lose weight if we needed to. You know, weight can actually shorten your lifespan, not to mention bring a host of other difficulties to you. And so we felt it was necessary at the leadership level at Beth Emanuel to say this is something we need to address. Now, the Torah portion when I gave this teaching, as I said, was Parsha Shoftim, Judges. And there's a saying that appears three times in our Parsha, in this Parsha, which is purge the evil. So it appears three times in this Torah portion, and it also appears eight times in the book of Deuteronomy. The first time that it appears in our Parsha is in Deuteronomy 17:7. There it says, "The hand of the witnesses shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people, so you shall purge evil from your midst." So this is talking about purging the person who's an idolater, the one who would lead others into idolatry. This person within the land of Israel was to be purged and put outside. He's put to death, and you want to cleanse the community from this kind of idolatrous influence. The second place we find it is just a few verses later in Deuteronomy 17:12. There it says, "The man who acts presumptuously by not obeying the priest who stands to minister there before the Lord your God, or the judge, that man shall die. So you shall purge the evil from Israel." So what's the sin of the person in this verse? It's a person that does not listen to the counsel of the Sanhedrin. So when the Sanhedrin makes a decision, the Torah requires us to abide by that decision, especially if it's a personal court, if it's a personal, we're involved in a personal case and they make a ruling for us and for someone else, we have to follow that. If we don't, it says that evil shall be purged from Israel. The third case involves one who is a false witness. And this comes from Deuteronomy 19:19. There it says, "Then you shall do to him as he had meant to do to his brother, so you shall purge the evil from your midst." So again, the person that is a false witness, and let's say they falsely witness against murder, so the idea is that person, if falsely accused, would be put to death. When it's found out it's a false accusation, then the person who gave that false accusation is then put to death. Whatever punishment they were going to inflict upon the other person is inflicted upon them, and the evil is purged from the midst. So I want to propose to you in this teaching that the sin and culture of an unhealthy lifestyle needs to be purged from among our midst. It is spiritually and physically damaging. So what was a big reason why in the land of Israel it needed to be purged from idolatry, from those who were not obedient to the Sanhedrin, from false witnesses? Why was it? Well, a large part was because of the Shekhinah, God's dwelling presence in the tabernacle and then the temple. Because his presence dwelled there in the land of Israel, it would not tolerate having this kind of evil in its midst. We know from the writings of the rabbis, and especially from the writings in the New Testament, that we also have the metaphor where our body is a temple. So, for example, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." So Paul talks about our bodies being this temple where the presence of God dwells. Where does Paul actually get this? Because some of the rabbis say some very similar things. Well, this comes all the way back from Exodus chapter 25 and verses 8, and this is where Moses is giving the children of Israel the original instructions about building the tabernacle. And at the end of this, these instructions that he delivers from Hashem says in Exodus 25 and verse 8, he says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst." So we usually interpret that to mean that here's this tabernacle, later the temple, the Mishkan, that this is where Hashem will dwell in the midst of Israel. But the sages of Israel pointed out that you can actually translate the phrase "dwell in their midst." It can be translated as "dwell in them." That the purpose of God building the Mishkan, of building the temple, is not just so he can dwell there, but so that he can actually dwell inside of us, and so we become like a spiritual temple. And I would argue that we need to take care of our spiritual temples with the same diligence that we would take care of the temple if it was here. We think of what our master did when he came into the temple and he saw how it was being misused, how it was being abused, and an unhealthy atmosphere was being created in the temple where people were raising prices and using it as a place to make money and to cheat people. And he comes in with a whip and with these cords, and he chases out the money changers and all these people who are swindling and robbing the people. He purged it with zeal. And we think about this. We think about Yeshua's normal countenance. He was very peaceful and loving and relaxing. And so we know when his zeal is raised up that it's a serious issue. And he saw his father's house being abused and being contaminated. And he knew that he needed to go in and cleanse out that sin. We should have the same diligence with our spiritual temple. So I want to give you 4 tips. It's kind of it's intuitive kind of stuff. It's practical. It's nothing earth-shattering, but I think it's 4 tips that we all should remember when we're thinking about our own health and our own well-being. The first is this idea of moderation and portion control. Having moderation in what we eat, not just eating everything we see. The Didache says in chapter 8 and verse 1, "Your fast days shall not coincide with those of the hypocrites, for they fast on the second day of the week and on the fifth, but you are to fast on the fourth day and on the day of preparation." So fasting, self-control, moderation was to be a part of the weekly cycle of the early believers. Fasting is not just something that's spiritual that connects us to Hashem, but it's also something that practically instills in us moderation and temperance. It's interesting because, we're in Parsha, or at least when I gave this teaching, we were in Parsha Shoftim, that in the next Torah portion, in Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 18 through 21, we have this whole idea of the rebellious son, and what to do with this rebellious son. And so in Deuteronomy 21:18, it says, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gates of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders, 'This is our son. This our son is stubborn and rebellious, and he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' And then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones, so you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Now, one of the things that should be noted first off about this commandment is the sages of Israel say that it served as a warning to children within Israel, with this punishment was actually never carried out. There was a kind of a series of circumstances that had to take place that were a little bit more complex in order for this, you know, the stoning of the son to actually take place. But this verse, these verses, this passage serves as a warning to children to obey their parents. But isn't it interesting? I think we could understand about a son deserving punishment who's stubborn and rebellious, and even a son who's a drunkard. But it also adds gluttony. That this is a person that just seeks to satisfy their appetite and they eat without any moderation or portion control. Why would that be part of the characteristics of a son that should be, to use our earlier language, purged from the midst of Israel? Well, I believe it's because food and our appetites can become idolatry. They become something that controls us, where we don't think. We're not using our head anymore. We're just going along with how we feel. We're trying to feed our evil inclination, our physical appetite, and we're not thinking about the greater good or thinking about Hashem and controlling ourselves. Makes me think of this story one time. Daniel and I were on the road, I believe it was sometime in the spring of 2016, and we both had kind of been dieting and exercising and working on controlling our appetite. And so we're on this trip, and it was about a week long. And at the beginning of the trip, we went to Whole Foods, we got some good food, and we're eating healthy, and we're being careful. And all of a sudden, we get to this hotel in Canada, upper Saskatchewan, and we're going to do this in Saskatoon, and we're going to do this seminar at a church. And we get to the hotel, and the pastor takes us there, and it's a wonderful hotel room. And he says, "And I brought you all of these treats." And on the counter is cookies and chocolates and nuts and all these kind of things that you love to eat. And I'm embarrassed to say that, you know, Daniel and I had exhibited such self-control before that we got in there. We were so excited about this that within 30 minutes we had eaten all of this up. Definitely did not exercise self-control that day. Paul says, "Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things." Have you ever passed up on a piece of cake and later thought, "Oh, gee, I should have had that cake," or, you know, I didn't have enough to drink last night, I didn't have enough alcohol last night, I didn't have enough soda last night, I didn't have enough of that bread, you know, I don't think we really think that. When we make healthy decisions, when we exercise self-control, we don't look back on it as if it's a mistake. I think of here at Beth Emmanuel, we have an alcohol policy, a quite strict alcohol policy when alcohol shows up. And so some weeks ago, we had gotten some special herring that I was very excited about. It comes from Brooklyn. It's called the Rebbe's Choice. And we're going to get this herring, and it's all these different flavors. It's kind of gourmet herring, very good. We're going to have it at third meal. And someone says, "Hey, can we get some schnapps? Can we have a little bit of schnapps with this?" And Aaron says, "Yeah, that's fine. But you have to give it to the elders, and then the elders serve it." So when we got to that third meal, and we got the schnapps there, and we're getting our herring, we're serving it up, Aaron is carefully pouring out a little bit of a glass for everyone who wants of this schnapps, and everybody gets a little glass, and then he takes the schnapps and puts it away. So he controlled. He did portion control with all of us. We only got one glass of schnapps. And I think, you know, myself and others, maybe we could use Aaron hanging out at the dessert end of the table there and saying, "No, you know what? Here's your one dessert. I think you've had enough. We need self-control. We need somebody sometimes to help with this." Philippians says in 23 Proverbs 23, 1 through 2 says, "When you sit down to eat with a ruler, observe carefully what is before you and put a knife to your throat if you are given to appetite." It's obviously an exaggeration about putting a knife to your throat, but it's emphasizing the importance of controlling your appetite. So the first is moderation. The second is watch what you eat. And I heard this said from the beginning when I got into the Messianic movement, but just because something is kosher does not mean it's healthy. It's funny because in the world, you know, why are so many products hectored here in the United States. Well, a lot of people who aren't practicing Judaism or Messianic Judaism, they often see a kosher symbol on something and they think it's healthier, it's processed better. But the healthier part is actually not true. In fact, a lot of traditional Jewish food, as much as I love so much of the Jewish food that's out there, it's actually not very healthy for you. It doesn't mean you can't have a little knish every once in a while or kishka, stuff like this. But as a rule, we need to be watching what we eat. What is the first sin? The first sin that we see in the book of Genesis is Adam and Eve looking at the fruit, desiring with their eyes. It says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired and to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." It's this idea of we're drawn after our eyes, whatever we see. Oh, that looks good. Let's have that. That looks good. That's the way an animal operates. But that's not the way that we as humans, especially we as disciples of the Master, should operate. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. We have to think about, you know, the certainly in the terms of legalities of the Torah, a piece of extra piece of cake is fine. But is it good for us? Is it good for us to have that every day? We need to be thinking about this. You know, there's even this, people say, oh, calories don't count on Shabbat. Well, actually, they do. And I find, as a person who's tried numerous diets, that sometimes Shabbat and you know, the culture that we've developed around Shabbat, sometimes it's the biggest inhibitor to sticking with a diet and staying with it. Okay, so number one is moderation. Number two is watch what you eat. Number three is exercise. A verse that we've been quoting often in this series of sermons on healthy eating and living is 1 Timothy 4:7-9. "Have nothing to do with irreverent silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance." Now, I know it's saying that godliness, training in godliness, is greater than training in bodily exercise, but for the analogy to be true, this kal vachomer, this, if this is true, how much more so is this? It means that exercise is important. It is something we should be doing. As Daniel says, he suspects that Paul was a bit of a health nut, someone who exercised. You even think about the lifestyle of the disciples in their day. They walked a lot more. The portion control is not an issue. They don't have, they're not affluent. They don't have a bunch of money to spend on food. But they are exercising. They're walking. They're getting the blood flowing, things pumping. I would say for most of us, if we are not exercising in some way, shape, or form 3 to 4 times a week, we need to get a new routine going. We should be exercising on a regular basis. Because it looks different for everybody. It could be a walk, it could be a run, it could be going to the gym. It's amazing, when I gave this sermon, I had just come back from Camp Tzadi, you know, where we had to walk everywhere. I lost about 4 to 5 pounds at camp just from walking around and sweating a little bit rather than driving around in an air-conditioned car. Okay, so last point here. So we have moderation, watch what you eat, exercise, and number four is come up with a plan. You have to have a plan for what you're doing, right? In the same way, if you were going to get out of financial debt, you wouldn't just kind of hope that that happens. You'd have a plan. You say, well, first we're going to start saving. We're going to pay off this credit card, and we're going to do this and do this. What if you wanted to increase your Torah study? You wouldn't just say, well, when I have time, I'll study more and I'll find time to get more into the Torah portion of the Gospels. No, you'd make time. You'd set a schedule up. The same is with getting healthy. We need to set goals for ourselves, set weekly checks for ourselves so we can actually see improvement. Perhaps one of the best things is, if you're able, get an accountability partner. Get somebody to stand with you, to help you out. Someone who maybe is also struggling, or someone who has conquered this. And they can help you and they can encourage you and keep you accountable. But the plan should not just be something, you know, let's say you say, I want to lose about 15, 20 pounds. The plan is not just that you do this plan until you lose 15, 20 pounds, but it's that this is a lifestyle change, that this new diet, this new, you know, whatever choices you're making about eating more healthy and exercising, it's not just to lose weight for a short period of time, but it is a lifestyle. Yehuda ben Tema says, be brazen like the leopard, light like the eagle, swift like the deer, and mighty like the lion, to do the will of your Father who is in heaven. What does it mean to be strong as a lion? It means to be healthy and fit, mighty and strong, to be a strong temple, a healthy temple, one that is ready to worship Hashem. And that's one of the things that we've been stressing, you know. I mean, obviously, if you lose weight, and you're dieting, and you're exercising, and you're eating healthy, you're going to feel good about yourself, and others will know the change, and you know it looks good. But what is our sole purpose for dieting and exercise and getting healthy? It's not just to feed our own egos so we look better in the eyes of other people. Our goal with healthy eating and exercise is so that we can serve the Creator to the best of our ability, to the full capacity to which we were created, that we can live up to whatever goal, whatever mission that Hashem has set out for our soul, that nothing will inhibit or impede that, and we can live that out to the fullest extent. May we all merit to be as strong as a lion heading into these fall holidays, ready to get the most spiritually and physically out of the season of Teshuvah.
Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.